Well, good evening. This is Pastor Denny Knupp again, Friendship Wisconsin here. It's Wednesday, April 22nd. It's good to be with you again for our 15 in quarantine. So, before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just want to thank you again for the short time that we'll have together tonight. We just ask for your blessing upon your word, and you'll just continue to mold and shape us and be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, as a couple people get online here, I'll just kind of recap where we ended. I just wanted to point out a verse from Monday when Paul had sent Timothy to check up on the Thessalonians. He got a really good report back, so much so that he was really encouraged with his report. And then he comes down here in verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God." He's basically to the point like, well, you can't really thank God anymore for what you've done. We thank them so much. But anyhow, he gets here to verse 10. It says, "Night and day we pray exceedingly what we might see your face." So he really wants to come to them. But he also makes a point here and says, "And what might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." And here in chapter 4, when we start here tonight, that's where we're at. He will start to perfect their faith. Even though they're on fire for the Lord, Paul still wants to perfect their faith. So let's look at some of that. So tonight, beginning with our 15 in quarantine, we've got enough time there for people to see the live and tune in. So let's get started. Chapter 4. Furthermore, again, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." So here we see, one, that they did receive how they ought to walk and ought to please the Lord. Pleasing the Lord is pretty much being in an agreeable state with the Lord. Obviously, you don't please the Lord by being in a disagreement with him and not going out and sinning. But here he gives these commandments so that they know how to walk and please the Lord. But he makes this comment that you would also, what, abound more and more. When you look those words up, that's pretty much saying that they would basically super abound more. Kind of like using bad grammar in a way today that would say the bestest of the best. Something like that, or the most bestest of the best. That kind of mentality, I guess you could say, to put it in today's scope. But basically, he wants us to pretty much super abound more in the Lord. So they knew what was instructed of them, even though they were on fire for the Lord. He still wanted to address a few things. And we read that verse last week that he wanted to fine-tune their faith. So he goes in and says right here, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." So now he begins to point out, you know, to fine-tune your faith. And for those that just tuned in there, 1 Thessalonians 3:10, at the end of that verse, he says that he wants to come to them. He wants to see them real bad, but he wants to perfect that which is lacking in their faith. And now he's starting into that, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. But do you guys know anybody? And I'm sure you do. That is really nitpicky, that they always have to be perfect. Maybe you go to an outing or a party and they're setting up tables. You set everything up, but then this person that's nitpicky comes in and they move every chair just another inch or two, or the table a couple inches or two. I'm sure you know someone like that. I actually worked with someone that was like that was very nitpicky, wanted everything perfect, every little detail just right. And it was hard. But it was also rewarding. The person also, you know, yeah, I see that, Laura. Nah. But yeah, that person did, you know, recognize when I worked hard, you know, gave me recognition when I did a good job. But there was always that room where you say, hey, we could do this different next time. We could do this better next time. And I did. I enjoyed it. Well, Paul's kind of doing that right now with the Thessalonians. And for a good reason. Because if you give, if you become stagnant in any way, if you think you're living for the Lord good enough right now, and you become stagnant or decide not to work at all, then what happens? You give place to sin. You give place to your flesh. You give place to Satan. And who do you think is going to win that battle? Well, your flesh will. Sin will come into your life. It'll start to permeate more and more. So you can't be stagnant. You got to always be work. You have that labor of love, as Paul called it here. So he wanted us to superabound more and more, constantly growing in the Lord. So now he gets down to one of these things that he wanted to point out to the Thessalonians. Verse 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 3. That this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. What is fornication? Well, it's like sexual immorality, unlawful sexual relations, basically all sexual matters that go against the word of God, not just physically, not just outwardly doing them, but also what goes on up here in your head as well, like pornography, for example, or lusting after another person when you're married or whatnot, even if you're not married, and that person might be married, but that whole scope of things. Basically, if it's outside the biblical guidelines for sexual relationships, which is between two believers, male and female, that's God's word, and it's very clear. So anything outside of that would be fornication. It would be that sexual immorality. So Paul points that out. And remember, during this time, there's a lot of that going on, just like today. I mean, the city that I came from, you could walk down the street in the summer, go to the store, you could go to the mall, it didn't matter where you went, you could find half-nude people everywhere. So there is a constant battle, and there's definitely, this is before everyone's face all the time. So this is something we always have to be on guard for. But anyhow, continuing on, he builds off of this. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. What does that mean? This is basically saying that, one, not just of saying, but concupiscence is like that state of like a burning passion. When you look in a lot in the society, I mean, everything revolves around the sexual orientation of how things made or whatnot. And when you see certain ads, there's always, you know, half new people maybe showing it off or whatnot. So you pay attention to the ad. So it's kind of like the idea of lust of concupiscence is that burning passion for things outside of God's moral boundaries. And here, these guys, it says, for the will of God is sanctification, you should abstain from fornication. And I did skip a verse, sorry, we'll come back to verse 4. But not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. If we're not careful, we become stagnant, and we allow our minds and hearts to wander. It won't take long before sin enters in and it starts to breed inside of you, and it will get worse and worse. And before you know it, you could be caught up in sexual things. I'm not saying physically, but you could be getting caught up mentally as well. But the verse I just skipped here, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Specifically here in this context, he's talking about being sexually pure, that you keep yourself pure before God, that you possess your vessel. This could also, Paul also talks about this in a general sense as well, that you should possess your whole body in sanctification and honor. Why? Because we are created in righteousness and true holiness. We are a new creation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is a common verse, for by grace you save through faith, and it not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But 10 goes on and says that we are, what? His workmanship, created. We're that creation, a workmanship that God did the moment of our salvation, that is created in true righteousness and holiness, that we're now created unto good works. So we're in this brand new body, so to speak, spiritual body. So we should honor God. We should reverence God, because we're in a position where we can truly do what's right and experience all that wonderful joy and stuff that comes from the Lord. So that every one of you should possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. One other thing I wanted to point out, I almost forgot. Verse 3 says, this is the will of God that you should abstain from fornication. The will of God. people constantly want to try to figure out what the will of God is sometimes. And when it comes to what Paul's talking about here, these sexual immoralities, this fornication, people want to twist the word of God something terrible. So it's interesting that Paul here, and he does a few other times, specifically says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So keep that in mind as well. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother. He's still building up, building off of this fornication. That you don't defraud your brother. Obviously, sexual relations with people who might be already married in the church of body of Christ, or even outside as well. Even in your mind. Remember, the body of Christ is one unit. We're all been purchased by the blood of Christ. We're all blood in a way. We're more blood than our blood relatives here on earth. Because why? We're bought with the precious blood of Christ. And Christ sees all. So what's going on up here? Maybe you're lusting after a friend's wife or husband or whatever the case may be, or these other impure thoughts. He sees that. So when we read down through this, don't say, well, there's no way I'm going to cheat on my wife or my husband. Yeah, it might be true. But go that step further and realize with technology, especially being in all the time, you have instant access to all kinds of things on the internet. You have instant access in your mind to think all kinds of things. And that needs to be pure. That needs to be in your sanctification and honor before the Lord. Excuse me. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Again, we are created in righteousness and true holiness. We are a brand new creature, kind of like the butterfly and worm aspect. There's no way we can go back to being a worm. There's no way we can go back to that old life. Why? Because we are completely someone new. We are completely identified into Christ. And when he talks about sanctification, we have a positional sanctification with the Lord, meaning we're eternally his, we're eternally secure, we're guaranteed to be in heaven one day. We're also permanently, what they call a permanent sanctification, meaning one day when the Holy Spirit seals you unto that day of redemption, as the Word of God says, one day we will receive a glorified body. That's our ultimate sanctification or permanent sanctification. But there's a third type of sanctification called practical, meaning while you're on earth, we're delivered from the power of sin, we're delivered from the penalty of sin, but we have yet to be delivered from the presence of sin. But the good thing about it is we're still delivered from the power of sin because of the Holy Spirit inside of us, this practical sanctification, the life we're living now, we can live. When we walk in the Spirit, when we walk by faith, not by sight. And then we can overcome these things. Like here, he's talking about the spiritual or the fornication. So keep that in mind, different levels of sanctification. So he's called us to be not unclean, but to be holy. Positionally, we are holy. Ultimately, we'll be holy. But right now, practically, we should be holy because we are created in righteousness and true holiness. But as touching brotherly love, I just skipped another verse, but in verse 8 here, 1 Thessalonians 4:8, he therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. What that's basically saying is, yes, you could look at it in a very general sense, that you say, you know what, if I decide to leave a clean life, especially if you're a young adult or a teenager, when you have all the pressure, the sexual immoralities are going on, you say, no, I will abstain and things like that. People might despise you, but you know what? Keep in your mind, too, that you shouldn't despise God. Because if you give yourself over to that, you can despise God as well. And what that's saying as a believer when you do that, is it's like saying that, yes, you're created in righteousness and true holiness, but then you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know what? Lord, I don't really think that's worth anything to me, what you did on the cross. I really don't think that you've given me a brand new life to live in, that now I can live without the power of sin over me in my life, that I have power over it because of the Holy Spirit within me. I don't really count that worth anything. That's kind of what the despising means, that here you are a believer, able to truly live out righteousness in your life, but then you choose and say, no, I don't count that any type of worth. That's kind of like what you're saying to God. So don't do that. And indeed, you do it toward all men. here in terms of showing brotherly love. Sorry, verse 9. Is touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all brethren, which are Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. So again, yes, they did have quite the brotherly love towards each other. They did have a true labor of love. But Paul did want to point out, one, because there's probably this temptation of fornication all around them, and it very well was probably affecting these guys as well. So he's calling them out, saying, look, stay strong. Keep on with your labor of love, as what he started out the book of 1 Thessalonians with, that work of faith, that labor of love. And notice how he says that. Work of faith, labor of love. The work of faith, how you present the gospel to people in truth and love, how you receive the gospel from people, that work of faith. Also that labor of love, living out your life and being a testimony to all that are around you. And he goes into that about the study and be quiet to do your own business. That's not mean to mind your own business, because that would be selfishness. But to do your own business means the Lord has work for you to do. Do everything unto the Lord, and then that would be your work, and doing your own business, working with your hands as we command you. We'll get to more of that later on. But that you might walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. So again, just to close up, because I did go over time a little bit here, that as he ends here, to walk honestly toward them that are without, there are many people lost in this world and actually dying, not just physically, but spiritually. And when they leave this earth, physically, they enter into an eternity that may be hell, it may not be. But the way we live our lives is a true testimony to all of them around us. We need to walk honestly towards them that are without. Our way we walk, Paul mentioned that when he presented the word of God to these people here at Thessalonica, sorry, a little tongue twisted there, he didn't include just the way he presented it, but he also included his lifestyle too, that he presented his very lifestyle to these people. That's the way we should be as well. So when we go to present the word of God, our lifestyle can speak for itself. They can't look at us and say, well, you do this or you do that. You're a hypocrite. Why should I believe it? But I want to point out one more thing. The work of faith, labor of love. We notice the work. Paul likes to use these words that are active, like do, see, press. And here you see the work of faith, labor of love. And we're now into that labor of love that he's talking about. The busier you are with the Lord, the more time you have invested in him, that labor of love that you constantly do, what happens? Well, you don't have time to sin. You don't have time to mess around with temptations that might come your way because you're busy in the Lord. And when sin or the temptations and things like that, the world come knocking at your door, what do they get? They don't get an answer. Or they call, they get a busy signal. Why? Because you're busy. You're busy abounding, like Paul said, to be able to abound more and more unto the Lord because you're working. How many times are you busy doing something at home? Maybe you're cleaning. Someone calls and you're in the middle of something. You're not going to pick it up, right? Or you're in the middle of cooking something. Someone calls. You're not going to pick it up. Your hands are dirty. You're in the middle of something. Well, when your hands are busy with the Lord, your mind's active in the Lord, you're not going to have time to say, let me see what's going on over here in the world. Or my flesh is telling me to go over here. You won't hear it anymore. You won't give it a second thought. You'll give them the busy signal. You'll give them the no time of day. So keep that in mind when you look at these things. And Paul talks about a true labor for the Lord. There's great benefits to laboring in the Lord. Not just the preventing yourself from being sin. That was one aspect, but then the second aspect is that your relationship grows with the Lord, and then you're less likely, when temptation is confronted to you, you're like, no, I don't think so. I experienced my God, and I know he provides. I know his joy is real joy, and I don't need this temporary stuff. So again, just be mindful of that. Paul's going down through Friday. We're going to see what else they were lacking in their faith, even though these people are on fire for the Lord. One of their parts that they had trouble with was the second coming of Christ and the rapture. they started confusing that as well. So we'll look at that Friday. But let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the time that we had together. And as we go through the book of 1 Thessalonians, that you just use us and speak to us and continue to mold and shape us into your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, guys, stay busy for the Lord so you don't have time to sin. And then you also get the chance to experience the Lord and not experience sin. So take care. Till next time. God bless. Thank you.